As you can tell, I have problems with technology. I get a little befuddled sometimes with some of this stuff. Okay. Again, my name's George Cummings. I'm an elder here. And I'm glad for Pastor Dan to give me this opportunity, this chance to talk to you all this morning. I've been excited and a little bit nervous all week about this, going over things, hashing things back and forth. And I think my dear wife, Kathy, has typed and printed this message probably about five times. So I'm thankful for her patience very much. Now, I'm not a seasoned speaker in such a large group of people. So most of my preaching and teaching has been down at the jail. So if I get this little grin on my face as I'm looking out, it's that I'm picturing everybody in stripes. And that'll kind of calm me down a little bit. Raleighville Baptist Church has four values that we're passionate about. The four values are gospel clarity, radical generosity, authentic community, and compassionate outreach. These values tell us who and what we are. And the one I'm going to talk about today is compassionate outreach, which means a passion to meet the physical and spiritual needs in our community and beyond. The primary way that I personally live this out is through the jail ministry, through RBC. So as I'm sharing God's word this morning, I'm going to share with you some of the things from the jail. So if you would go to Mark chapter 6, verse 34, start with 34. And I'll read. Now I'm reading this out of the NLT. Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages to buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them. You feed them." With what they ask, we'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. "How much bread do you have?" he asked. Go and find it." They came back and reported that they had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus told his disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the five loaves and the 2 fish, looked up towards heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread so the disciples could see or could distribute it to the people. He also divided fish for everyone there, and they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples packed up 12 baskets of leftover fish and bread. The total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. Let's pray for God's word. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be with you today. Father, as we discuss the things that we're going to discuss, the things that you've put on our heart, the importance of compassion for one another, I would ask for clarity. I would pray for clarity, that everyone that hears this message this morning would take something away from it. Father, we are nothing and we can do nothing without your help. So we come to you humbly this morning, and we ask for that in Christ's name. Amen. I have two points see people like Jesus. And then again in verse 34 says, Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. So point number one is see people like Jesus. Jesus' ministry was first about teaching. Sharing the gospel was of first importance. Ministry didn't stop with teaching. He also met their obvious physical needs. In Matthew Henry's commentary, he writes, if you expect the benefit of God's compassion to yourselves, be you compassionate to one another. If there is such a thing as mercy to be found among the followers of Christ, if all who are sanctified have a disposition to holy pity, make it appear this way. When he was asked which commandment was the greatest, Jesus said to love your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And the second was to love your neighbor as yourself. It's in Matthew 22:36-40. Your neighbor is just not the person that lives beside you. Your neighbor is everywhere. Everywhere. In the book, Outgrowing the Ingrown Church, John Miller says about seeing people like Jesus, This is what he has to say. I don't think it is possible for anyone to live in this world without having some prejudice towards other kinds of people. For me, it was a long, slow process to cleanse my heart of such things. But I had come to see that the command to disciple has a greater sweep than anything I had imagined. I also saw that the saving program of God, listen to this, I also saw that the saving program of God includes large numbers of unwashed elect that are not exactly elite. I have, I know that would happen. I have lived that kind of life, personally, where I didn't understand things of Christ's heart. Point number two, serving like Jesus, reaching out in God's power, and I want to reread 35-44 in Mark. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages to buy something to eat. Again, but Jesus said, you feed them. With what they ask, we'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy the food for all these people. How much bread do you have, he asked. Go and find it. Then when they came back, they reported they had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 to 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and fish, looked up to heaven and blessed them. And breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish, and a total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. You feed them. As Christ's disciples, you feed them. To serve like Jesus, to serve people like Jesus, you give them something to eat. The disciples said, "We don't have enough resources, send them away." And Jesus said, "No." Jesus' point was, "You're with me," and that changes ministry. We can do anything when we have faith in our God, and it starts with the compassion He has given us through Christ. Now I want to go to the jail for a minute. Raleighville Baptist Church's jail ministry has been in existence for about 14 years. It started with John Thomas, Paul Strassner, and myself. And when it began, the jailers took us up to a place called E Block. He unlocked the door, opened it up, and we walked in, and he slammed the door behind us and turned the key and locked us in. Hey, I was just a little bit nervous about that. And then I think in E Block there's probably about 20 or 25 guys. We sat down at the table and we told them why we were there and what we were going to do. And as we sat at the table, they all came from every direction and they just gathered around the table. And we had a Bible study. You could have heard a pin drop. It was so quiet. Later, as time went by, we were joined by Dave Johnson, who brought with him a lifetime of biblical knowledge. It truly was great. There are other ministries at the jail too, including probably the one guy who's been there the longest, and that's Shirley Alger. He's a great servant. Now, a few weeks ago, for the 2 weeks preceding that, we had been talking about forgiveness. And you have to understand, the guys at the jail, and even people, even your neighbors, even people around, probably some sitting here, they don't have a problem forgiving other people for things, for the most part. Where they have their difficulties is forgiving themselves for things that they've done. That, in a nutshell, is the guys at the jail. So every few months, probably, we go through a series of forgiveness. This particular night, after we had talked about it for a few weeks, we decided to show the movie Amish Grace. It's about a man who lost his daughter up in Pennsylvania, and he was angry with God for taking his daughter. So he went to an Amish school. And he did some terrible things. So during that movie, right before the movie started, there was our desk, and then a row of guys, and then a row of guys, and then in the third row. The guy in the second row, you could see on his face that he was having a problem. And I didn't know exactly what it was. But in a few minutes, I found out. The guy behind him was badgering him. Just would not let it go. Just kept on and kept on and kept on. He finally turned around and threatened him. And the man that was behind him, he stood up. And I thought, well, here we're going to have a ruckus. Well, I stood up to go over to the button. There's a button that we can push, and the speaker comes on, and we tell the jailers to come up and get us. So I walked over, and I was ready to push the button, but the man that wouldn't leave the problem go, which I still don't know what it was, he got up and he followed me over. So when he did that, I just pushed the button. A few minutes, the guards came up and he left. Now, the other guy was sitting there. He was angry. And he said that he was going to go back to the cell block and he was going to finish things. Well, when he said that, bear with me here one second. When he said that, it reminded me of a verse, but I didn't know exactly where it was. So I texted Paul.
Chapter 6.
Oops. I'm sorry, folks. I had this all figured out. This is what happens to me. So I contacted Paul, and I asked him where the verse was. I'm not going to be able to read it to you. It was 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11, when it talks about the troubles in life and how the devil was always going to be behind you, pushing your buttons, trying to get you to go in his direction instead of God's direction. I'm sorry that I can't get that up. So anyway, I took my Bible and I highlighted those 7 or 8 verses, and I turned my Bible around and I shoved it forward for this man to read. And he sat there and he read them. The first time he read them, there was nothing. He shoved it back and I said, read it again. And he read it again. He read it 3 times. And then you could see on his face that it started to make sense. He understood what was happening and he started to calm down. He is trying to become the man that God wants him to be. But like a lot of people, he struggles with doubts about his faith. We must be obedient and follow God's word and be there to help others with spiritual help. We must do that. We are called to do that. Instead of pushing the button for the guards and have them both removed, like the disciples wanted to send the people away without a meal, Jesus wants us to press on. He wants us to have compassion for people who are lost in a world of guilt and grief, with so much sorrow in their lives that the only way for them to lift themselves up sometimes is to strike out. It's somebody or something. The anger just wells up inside of them. We are here not only to enjoy what God has given us in our lives, but to help other people understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The point that I'm trying to make is no matter how bad things are, there is always room for God's compassion to work in and through us. This man is obviously having a difficult time with life, but he's starting to understand the power of the gospel and how Christ can change his heart and life if he's willing to listen to the teachings of Christ and by accepting Christ and asking for forgiveness. Just like Sean said this morning, I have not met one inmate yet that God's word has not changed in some way. And all we have to do is be obedient and share God's word with kindness and compassion. And of course, with love. A lot of men, when they come down to the jail for the first few times, they sit in the back. Clear in the back. and they talk. And you have to understand that they might be father and son. They might be brothers, they might be cousins, or they might be friends that are separated by yards of walls of concrete and steel. So when they have an opportunity to come down to church, basically, they get the chance to see and talk to one another. Now, there are those who, when they start that, they warn them once or twice to stop, and if they don't stop, they push the button and have them removed. We don't do that. I refuse to do that. We start at 7 and we go till 9, 2 hours. If they hear 10, 15, or 20 minutes of God's Word, they truly hear it, then the seed is planted. It's planted. And for most, it moves. We've had guys come and sit down in the back and talk and talk and talk until you're just ready to just yell at them to stop, but we don't do it. We try to be patient. The funny thing happens with that, and Shirley can testify to this. If they have a sentence of 6 months or 8 months or whatever it may be, you can gradually watch how they move forward. I've seen many men who were sitting in the back and you wanted to get them out of there because you thought that they were disruptive, end up being right in the front row with their Bibles open and ready to study. Now, if we would push that button and have them removed, that would have never taken place, more than likely. That's compassionate outreach, in my opinion. So many people have been part of this ministry over the years. There have been many men who have contributed their time to this ministry with compassion and truth. There was one man that always stands out to me that came with us on Tuesday night. He came for months, and we'd ask him to maybe pray, and then we never put anybody on the spot. It was very quiet. But we would ask him to pray or something like that, and he would always refuse to do it. Well, after a couple months, he did. He did close us in prayer. That was such a heartfelt prayer that tears of joy was running down his face. It moved every one of those men. Every one of them. The results of this caring and outreach of these men have been great. It's touched their lives. And you've got to remember this, it also touches the lives of their family. Because one of the things that we stress is that not only are they subject to God's law and rule, but they are to be the spiritual leaders of their household. I'm going to tell you, it works. Church members at RBC have been very faithful to cover this ministry with their prayers and donate money. And what we buy them are soft cover study Bibles. The soft cover study Bibles are because if they get transferred, they can take them with them. If it's a hardcover Bible, they're not allowed to take them. So if they're there for months and they have all these notes, things highlighted and stuff, when they go, they're not allowed to take them. The soft ones they take with them, so they can take all that with them. And the study Bibles in itself helps them to have a better understanding of God's Word. And that's what we're there for. We're not there for ourselves. We're not there to put little notches in for us. We're there for them. RBC Ministry also provides pizza, believe it or not, and soda on the Tuesday before Christmas. If there's been a guy in there for a few months, he has had no pizza or Pepsi. They don't get that. So on the Tuesday before Christmas, We get volunteers from the cell or from the church. Usually we have about six guys. I know that some of you have done this. And we go there, we buy, get the pizza, and we go to the jail, and we go block to block to block, and we distribute the pizza and the soda, and we pray a prayer of thanksgiving before they eat, and then we go up and down the hallway, the long aisleway in the block, and we ask them for if anybody wants or needs an individual prayer, and we do that. It's compassionate outreach. You can't imagine how many people that's touched. Truly is great. Another outreach program that RBC has, as you already heard about it a little bit this morning, was the Adopt a School program. When as a church we adopted Laurier Middle School, it was an act of love, obedience, and compassion. Compassion outreach, which again is defined as a passion to meet the physical and spiritual needs in our local community and beyond. It lets a community know we are followers of Christ if we tell them that's why we're there. No one knows for sure how many people have been touched by these acts of kindness, but I know some were. I also know how it impacted those who were able to take part in it and serve in this fellowship. And I pray that as we grow in Christ, we find other ways to come together to serve others and to show that compassion that comes only through knowing Christ and belonging to His family. Now, please don't be troubled if you have not been a part of either one of those ministries. Don't do that. Some people are not able to serve in that way, and that's fine. But remember, as a believer, you have a purpose in God's will. And He will show you the way that He wants you to go. So have faith and don't quit asking for guidance. Just don't stop. Keep on praying. Keep on asking, and He'll show you the way. The idea is to be looking for opportunities God provides us in our daily lives. Jesus didn't plan to feed the 5,000. He was just going about His day and saw an opportunity to see people with compassion and to serve them with God's love and God's words. God's word. You can do this in your neighborhood. If you know someone who is having a problem, you can be part of the solution with Christ at your side. You can do anything, even minister to the hardest of hearts. Just in my neighborhood, we had a tragedy a while back where a family lost a son, the son's wife, and two children in a fire. We also have a man who's losing his battle with cancer. The opportunities are probably right in front of you. And all you have to do is be quiet and listen. Listen for God to talk to you and do His will. Just be quiet and listen. And He'll guide you to those people who need help, to those people that are in need. You won't know until you strike up a conversation with them. Remember, and remember this, when you do that, that you won't be alone. Christ is going to be right beside you. He's going to be with you every step of the way. So don't fear that. Don't fear knocking on somebody's door. Don't fear going to them when you hear that they're having a problem. Just let God, Christ, let Him guide you for that opportunity. Individuals and families. Before I go there, I want to go someplace else. We had a guy at the jail a while back when we give Bibles to everybody. I'll speed this up a little bit. We had give Bibles to everybody, and he got out. He went home, and I saw him later, and he said that he had a terrible argument with his wife and that he had to get up, and he walked out. He walked out the door. I think he just went for a walk or a drive. Well, probably just for a walk. So I sat there and I listened to his story for a little bit. And I said, tell me. I said, do you still have that Bible that we gave you? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, and where was that Bible at the time that you had this altercation with your wife? He said, it was on the TV. And I said, was that right in front of you? And he said, yeah. So I asked him the question, what would have been the difference in that argument? What would have been the difference if you did the things that we talked about while you were in jail? If you would have just gotten your Bible and sat down and started reading Psalms, what would have been the change? And he admitted that it would have fixed it. His wife is a believer too, and it would have fixed the problem. There wouldn't have been the altercation, the hard feelings. It would have been gone. Simple things. It's not rocket science. It's simple things that we can help people with when we have compassion for them. Another thing that we do for personal outreach, which turns into community outreach, is the Little Lambs program here at RBC. What we do is down at the jail, we have a give out papers to the guys, and they fill the papers out, and then Lori puts everything together, and we have a tree out in the hallway, out in the vestibule, and we hang the lambs on the tree, and people come by and get them, and they read the back of the lamb, and they go buy the gifts, and then they bring them back, and then as a church body, you see, we all get together, those that can, and we distribute the gifts. Compassionate outreach on a community standard. We give the gifts. Now, you just don't know how many lives that's touched with these men. I've had men come in, tattoos all up and down, around their necks, you know, hard guys, some of them, very hard. And they come in on that Tuesday after the little lambs are delivered, and they walk in, and they come up to you, and they want to shake your hand and thank you for being there when they needed someone to be there. And you sit there, and you talk to them for a little bit, and just tears start running down their face. Compassionate outreach. It's hard to know how many children and family members have been touched by these acts of compassion. Again, I've seen men come back with tears in their eyes, knowing that they are still in touch with their children's lives as important to them. That's my message. Have compassion. Have Christ-like compassion for your neighbors and for everyone you come in contact with. Have that real heartfelt compassion that we should have as followers of Christ. Now the altar is open. Thank you. The altar is open if anyone wants to come up and pray. Maybe you want to be able to pray to see people like Jesus did. Ask Him for purpose and ask Him for direction in your lives. Folks, the opportunity is there. All you have to do is be quiet and listen. And He'll guide you and He'll show you the direction He wants you to go. Thank you. Oh, I need to pray. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for this opportunity that You've given us. We thank You for the message. I just can't imagine living in this world without knowing how much You care about me or us. It's just phenomenal that You can be in touch with people like me and people like in the rest of this congregation. We just have a deep, heartfelt thankfulness for that. So we ask for You to be with us today, and we pray that this message helps us in our understanding of compassionate outreach and what, as a church, we are being called to do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.